Good afternoon, everybody. This is Christian Teig reporting here from Germany to the preliminary and unaudited fourth quarter 2015 conference call for CompuGroup Medical. We will today follow the much established format with first a presentation that I will speak you through, leading into a Q&A session. Given that we are on a preliminary stage with somewhat less detail than a normal quarterly report, the first section will probably be a little bit quicker than normal, 10 to 15 minutes, which leaves more time for the Q&A session or even an earlier break. The presentation can be downloaded on our website, or you can follow it on our web conference, which you have been given a link to. So we will then step into the presentation. We start with a slide numbered 2. This is just a reminder that we are still on a preliminary and an audited stage, at least for formal reasons. That's where we are. Having said that, we certainly do not expect any material changes to the numbers that have been presented, and we consider them as stable and for all practical purposes final for the year 2015. If we then move to the slide numbered 3, we see the key figures for the fourth quarter 2015 alongside the full year figures. When we made the final outlook for 2015 after the third quarter, we gave some ranges as to where we expected to end up in the last quarter of the year, and we made we hit well within that range, 146.5 million of revenue, 33.1 of EBITDA, our solid figures, around 23% EBITDA margin, roughly 3 percentage points above the finish last year. Also full year figures within what we adjusted for and guided after the third quarter. So all in all, a good solid finish to the year. Certainly as you go down in the P&L, the difference to last year becomes more and more flattering. Everyone should keep in mind that we have a substantial positive effect on the net financial result this year because of the strengthening of the US dollar and our internal capital structure. So that's something to consider. That's not going to repeat every year, and it's going to fluctuate something between the years, evening out in the long run. But again, we certainly then end up with a strong EPS and net income relative to the operating profits. We have a single slide, numbered 4, which gives a summary of the different sections or segments. The largest and most important part, the doctor and dental software business. Good finish to the year. We did have a very strong fourth quarter last year, and this year we have some special effects, most notably the different profile of the Gematik project here in Germany. Some differences on hardware revenue, not that significant in the overall scheme of things, but all in all, we're happy with how the doctor and dental software business did last year. 3.5% organic growth outside the Gematik project, maybe on the lower side, but still okay for this business. Moving on to the pharmacy software business, that's an area where we had good, if not even strong, finish to the year. The 20% organic growth that we post for the quarter has only to do with seasonality. There are some different timings in this business based on simple things like trade fair timings and some special product launches. For the full year, we ended up with 6% organic growth, which certainly is in the higher end and above what we guided for the year, and probably also somewhat above a normal year. But small deviations, and all in all, strong and very happy with how this PCS business behaved in 2015. Another very strong year, above what we expected, was our HCS business. This is driven by workflow decision support, communication and data. That's where we did get some strong extra business, which also drove a little bit of extra profitability end of the year. Very happy with the HCS business in 2015. Certainly it's going to be tough call to follow in 2016. We will do what we can, but for the time being, just be happy with how that business developed during 2015. Those were the three highlights with a positive sign. Hospital business has not been strong in 2015. Fourth quarter, no exception, more or less as expected. It's been a difficult year with some troubled projects in some specific markets. We now look forward, and certainly in terms of expenses and efficiency and keeping projects under control, that's going to be a main focus for the year 2016. But all in all, as I said, in the fourth quarter, more or less as expected, and rounding off a pretty weak year in this space. Operating expenses well under control, that's clear. In 14 we did have some one-offs in terms of restructurings, which make the comparison slightly flattering, but it's good to see that we are delivering on our promise in terms of gaining operational efficiency. And again, the last bullet also here mentioned, it's just this positive financial result, which is non-cash from the US dollar exchange rate. That summarizes basically the quarter. There's a little bit more detail in the report. I guess a lot of focus is on the forward-looking side. We have the placeholder on slide number 5. I will now step through the outlook as it has been presented in the financial report. We begin with an overview that we always present when we give these outlooks. This is on slide 6. Here we see the recurring revenue in the group as it has developed since the year 2008. This is really what investors and those interested in CompuGroup commit to and place their faith to. This is the value that we have. It's what our existing and long-term and loyal customers pay us year on year. The comparison between how we began 15 and how we begin this year shows an increase of 7%, almost all coming from increases in software maintenance. Certainly, this is a strong and robust platform to build on, and I think many of you have heard and seeing this ratio, that the ratio of recurring revenue to full year group revenue is plus or minus of a ratio 65-35, you will see that these numbers give a good visibility and a clear direction as to how the full year will develop. I'm happy to have this foundation to start every year on. And again, the sum of recurring and software maintenance beginning of 2016 is 380 million euros. Translating this into top line all included revenue, that brings us to slide number 7, the detailed outlook per segment. Our doctor software business, ambulatory information systems, we expect revenue-wise to be 334 to 338 million euros. That corresponds to 5-6% organic growth, higher than 2015. Some of that driven by by the Gematik project, which will deliver somewhat more, not that much more, but somewhat more in 2016 to 2015.
Yeah,
and a good overall outlook for this business. Yeah, about 2 million extra will come from some small acquisitions. An important point that I will touch upon separately, in this guidance, there is absolutely nothing taken in terms of potential revenue from the rollout of the German telematics infrastructure. It does not mean it cannot come. It just means that is something that we will discuss and describe separately outside the core guidance. So these 334 to 338 million euros basically constitute the core business without any revenue from this special opportunity. Second main bullet, pharmacy information systems, 93 to 95 million. 6%, as we delivered in terms of organic growth in 15, is certainly somewhat above the mean that we expect in a long growth trajectory. 2 to 4% organic growth is what we forecast for this year, and it was the same as we forecasted actually last year, which is more the normal single-digit growth rates for this business, which is very mature as it is. The hospital business, 71 to 73, revenue-wise, not very exciting. Again, we do come from a somewhat difficult year, and we need to take this into account, and certainly here, focus will be to deploy resources efficiently, to gain some profitability improvements and to stabilize this business. Another 2 million will come from the LMZ acquisitions, but we haven't been very acquisitive in the last 12 months. And these 2 million plus the 2 in the AIS business basically constitute the inorganic growth that we will see in 2016. For the three HCS businesses, they had very strong 2015s, which means that we guide them flat year on year. I would say we hope that maybe this is something we can improve upon during the year, but especially in the communication and data business, we had almost 8 million of revenue in the fourth quarter, some very strong bookings, which is great. We will see if we can repeat that, but guidance-wise, we keep these revenue outlooks basically flat compared to what we delivered in 2015. Yeah, and this brings us then, I guess, one contextual slide before we move on. You know, what does this constitute in terms of organic growth? This is slide number 8. Yeah, you see it here. I would say all these figures are more or less in line with historical growth rates in the last 5 to 6 years. But of course, they are not equal every year. And again, on the back of strong growth figures, especially in the HCS subsegment, yeah, we start out by guiding this more or less flat for the year. It does constitute 2 to 4% on the top level of the group, which I guess is very consistent with where we have been in this whole time horizon. And again, this is core business, this is nothing exceptional, and does not include potential upsides from the large opportunity that we have in Germany. Profitability is important. Since we did major, I would say, structural changes and investments into our business in 2014, we went on the commitment to improve margins, and we see 2016 to be no different than that compared to 2015. And this graph, hopefully something that we can build from the 2014 basis up to our longer term margin targets. This brings us to slide number 10, which is the summary guidance. Just the numbers and the text to what we have already covered. Revenue is expected then to be in the range 560 to 570 million, and the operating income 125 to 133. It includes all expenses that we expect to incur to prepare for the rollout of the telematics infrastructure in Germany. We are building up parts of the organization now to handle this. However, it does not incorporate any potential revenue related to this, even if this is planned to begin in the middle of 2016, specifically 1st of July. I will get into some details on that. We don't know the exact timing of volumes, and as of today, that is still uncertain the way we see it. Everyone is committed to start 1st of July 2016. But some factors to when volume starts to flow in are also beyond our control, and we felt it more prudent then to keep this part of the potential P&L for 2016 out of the official guidance, at least when we start the year. Yeah, the volume of acquisitions has already that we have as of today, roughly 4 million year on year. Yeah, unless we do something else that stays, of course, if something new comes in, the guidance will be adjusted alongside this throughout the year. And last bullet, just to say that this is an honest and transparent picture of how we see 2016, and we sincerely believe and hope that this will stay during the year. And that the only change coming in would be potential new revenue from the telematics infrastructure rollout. Yeah, this brings us to slide 11, which is a small section after guidance and more or less after the core part of the presentation. Most of you will know this, but it's just to remind everyone that a very important event happened on the 3rd of December last year. This was when the German Parliament approved the new law, the German e-health law, and the law is now in effect, and it came into effect the 1st of January this year. Slide 12 basically shows an unchanged picture to the draft bill, which many of you keenly followed during 2015. We were very happy that the main, say, sanctions and mechanisms to ensure a timely rollout were kept completely unchanged in the final law, which means that what you read on this slide now is German law, and this reads that we have to, we meaning we as a German nation, kept responsible through the Association of Insurance Companies and the Doctors Association, have to be ready with all preconditions met the middle of this year to start a rollout, and have to be finished beginning of 2018. The date that is clearly in focus is that all doctors have to be able to use and have to use the system and the network middle of 2018. That is the date that I have heard, not in front of the scenes or behind the scenes, any type of change to. As we say, and there are no changes to any of these dates, obviously, because they're written into the law. Exactly how close to this 30th of June 2016 high volume of installations will flow, that is in a sense the mystery factor for the CGM outcome for 2016. What we have said all along is that once we get into 17, it's pretty clear that we have to be installing at full speed. And full speed maybe can be deduced from the slide number 13. These are the rollout numbers that we look at when it comes to our own customers. There are many, many, many customers outside this, but these roughly 64,000 customers are the ones that we feel responsible for and that we expect to do, for all practical purposes, all of And to do that, we need to do at least 3,000 locations per month during all of 2017. And that's really one overriding goal for us, is to build up volumes and get ready for that. We will take as much as we can and start earlier rather than later. But again, exactly how that ramp up will be to that run rate during 2016 is probably the largest mystery factor for CGM during this year. Slide 14 is just a reminder that the rollout and the infrastructure business is a great opportunity for us. It's something that we've worked hard for. It's something that we have invested in. We've taken prudent risks and look well positioned to gain some commensurate rewards from that. The real opportunity, the long-term value for German healthcare and for us, is to use this infrastructure for good purpose and to deliver a great portfolio of additional products and services on top of this infrastructure for the benefit of customers, patients, healthcare, all stakeholders, including share owners of CGM, in the years to come. The excitement and the importance of this initiative has not in any way faded, and again, very, very important confirmation that this will happen came when the law was passed and approved. We have a lot of work ahead of us during 2016 to get all pieces in place and get ready for the rollout. How much we will actually translate of this into our P&L for 2016 remains an open question. I'm sure many of your questions in the upcoming Q&A session will be directed on this topic. There isn't that much more I can say, but I guess we will see once we open up the Q&A session. Before that, just a reminder on the roadmap in terms of financial reporting this year. The final figures and the full annual report will be published end of March. Again, we don't expect any significant or material changes from what you've seen today. We then start on a very normal quarterly reporting schedule. May 4th, the AGM, May 18th, always the highlight of any corporation. Then August, Q2, and then investor conference and Q3 report. Certainly the next 3 to 6 months will be the decisive months in terms of narrowing down revenue from telematic infrastructure rollout, and we expect, and again everyone should hope and also expect, that for the core business we will track well within the ranges that have been presented you today. This rounds up the presentation part of today. We now open up for questions. We will do it in the normal procedure. You press star 1 and you will be queued in, and we will take your questions then in sequence. So please enter your star 1 and we will start with the questions.
Hey Christian, good afternoon. It's Uwe from Deutsche. Two questions please for a start. Just in as much as you can, what's the initial feedback that you are hearing out of the Federal Office for Information and Security, the BSI, regarding your connector solution? Is the official certification still expected? I believe last time you said it would be end of March. Is that still something that you would expect, or any initial feedback that you are hearing out of the office? Thank you.
So there's no change to this timeline. End of March stays. It is very much a black box. Certification does not mean testing. Testing is something we spent all of last year to do. We entered the certification phase on the 4th of December. It's a little bit of a big wall which no one can see through, and you throw the thing over it and then you wait. So it isn't a transparent process. yes, informally you do get some feedback, and the process has not been broken, and I guess that's slightly good news. So yeah, we expect to do this in one round. Worst case, there may be some follow-up, but again, no change to the outlook and timeline of this, actually back to what we presented at the Capital Markets Day in October. But it isn't a very transparent process, so, and we are not being incorporated in their progress.
Okay, that's helpful. And then on second question would be on the test region in northern Germany. As I understand it, you have to work together with some other software vendors, basically with your competition in many instances, on the, I guess, interoperability is the key word here. Can you just share some light on, or shed some light on how the work is currently being done, and how you can make sure that indeed the necessary connections with their software is actually happening, and how many software vendors, peers, are you really working with compared to the overall number of companies there? Thank you.
Yeah, so I mean, right now everyone is in a wait mode in this part, because everyone waits for the certified connector. Having said that, all this, you know, it's actually 503 locations exactly. Each one of them has been gold-plated and polished and prepared, has been one of the benefits. And I think in terms of the integration and interoperability, this is based on a very, very transparent and open interface, which has been thoroughly, thoroughly tested. Again, we keep in mind that we've had fully functional and running connector, albeit not certified, for more than a year, as we did present the first, say, full function live demo end of 2014. So we've had a lot of time to get ready on everything else. There is a slide on our Capital Markets Day presentation from last year, which shows all our subcontractors, and there you see the names. I think it's around 10 of these, say, competing software vendors or other software vendors in healthcare that cooperate with us and act as subcontractors in the pilot. I would say if you look into the large volume of locations, they come from doctor and dental offices. If you look into the official statistics, if you take the top 50 vendors in this area, you will have upper 90% of the market. So you could say that we have maybe around 20% then of the potential, say, partners to reach footprint in Germany already in our pilots, as has T-Systems in the other pilot. You will see that they certainly have Frey and Medatix, who are the second and third largest on doctor software in Germany. They are not together with us, so there's a little bit of size difference and mix, but all in all, we have about 10, and would of course be happy to see if we could continue to support the rest of their installed base in the rollout phase when that appears. And you know, those type of relationships and, say, OEM deals will probably materialize in the next 3 to 6 months. And that's in an open competition between T-Systems and CGM.
Just one quick follow-up. So basically, if you say out of the 20%, 20% out of the 50, you're doing well, and the interface shouldn't be a problem at all because you have already tested it by then in the test region. Is there any risk that with the other 80% there, the interface could be an issue, or was that also tested last year in the?
No, I mean, well, it wasn't tested, but keep in mind that the pressure is more on the other software vendors. If you cannot offer your customers a connection to the telematic infrastructure, you base, okay, you will financially be penalized, so it hurts, from the middle of 2017. And again, this integration is very doable, and we do not expect this to be a particular issue in any direction as the rollout starts to pan out.
Very clear, thank you.
Hello, Christian, it's Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. I have quite a couple of questions, so I hope you have a pen ready. So the first one would be on the guidance. Could you maybe elaborate a bit on what the different scenarios are for hitting 125 million EBITDA and 133? So it's quite a range, and what are the assumptions for the two different outcomes? The second question is related to the telematic project. Obviously, you have some costs related to it, or at least to the pilot, in the 2016 guidance. How much costs have you tailored in, and what is the revenue that is still coming from the pilot, obviously? Also, to the connector, how will you deal with the production of the connector? So obviously there's also a lot of different outcomes of what demand might be, what the momentum could be when doctors start implementing the connector. How quickly can you ramp up production? Is there an inventory risk for CompuGroup going forward? How will you deal with this rollout and the need to obviously physically have the connector ready? And then I also have a question on the organic growth guidance. So obviously growth is supposed to come from AIS and PCS. And if I look at your maintenance development, it looks as if to a certain extent at least, what you once labeled a new business model in 2009 appears to contribute to growth. So against this backdrop, I would assume that the EBITDA outcome for 2016 should be pretty predictable. And then I was surprised that we haven't seen more optimism in the HCS segment, given the prospects, opportunities that were presented at the Capital Markets Day in 2014. It means medical value communication and clinical research support. So maybe you could update us on how these projects are doing. And the last question is quite a small one, is on communication data and Q4. Q4 looks pretty strong. Maybe you could provide some details here as well. Thank you.
Yeah, so, the guidance range of EBITDA, 125 to 133, it's large. I think if you look... certainly it depends on which segment hits high/low end of the range. I'm not sure I would be able to pinpoint one exact swing factor. Certainly containing costs, and that would include contractors and external resources on hospital projects, will be an important swing factor, and we've had to... still factor in some extra costs in this, but if that can be avoided, that brings us to a higher end of the range. Also a little bit to our, the timing and how much we have to now ramp up and prepare for the telematic infrastructure rollout. Keep in mind that these costs are incorporated in the guidance and in a sense lay over some of the underlying profitability development. I think that's about as specific as I can tell this guidance range. Typically when we do this thing, we translate everything in and we get a number, and that number would be something like 133, and then we say, okay, what could go wrong and where do we need to do some risk adjustments? And then you you try to make a prudent range, which, you know, is smaller than what where you can drive a bus through, but still somewhere where you don't have to change it during the year. So again, we always we always hope to get into the higher end, and in a sense that's what we plan for, but history has told us that some things in a sense always go wrong, and it's not always you get positive surprises to compensate. So the range is what it is. We've had years where we've had 10 million on EBITDA range. Okay, we should, this is at least lower than that, it's 8. But again, there isn't one single or very specific thing that constitutes that range. The pilot, that's relatively easy to say. We plan, I believe it's about 7 million remaining on the AIS side, and about 2 million remaining on the ISP, so 9 million total in 2016 on the TE pilot, which is revenue with zero margin, as we've made provisions. This was done after Q3 for all expected future losses, which means by definition it's zero unless you do another replanning, which we don't expect to do. Zero profit contribution for the remainder. But again, it's 7 million AIS, 2 million ISP. Third question was on the connector. One way to answer that is to say a batch size which can be ordered with certainly not more than 3 month lead time is about 3,000 units. So I think that's which means we don't have to pre-produce 30,000 or something. It's, you know, typically you can almost, and that's one production line, and we can, in our suppliers, we can get certainly up to three production lines going. So we would be able to produce a sizable amount without big inventories and big lead times. So that looks to be fairly a good setup in terms of retaining flexibility. But again, that comes, you know, 3 months before we see volume, we have to commit, order, and start. That's how it is. The fourth question was, I guess, on
HCS.
HCS.
And AIS, AIS, the maintenance that obviously increased.
Yes.
So is it correct that it reflects the new business model and also kind of explains the growth rates here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, we stay loyal to our business model, which means, you have smaller things like hardware sales, but the true thing that drives fundamental growth is, of course, the underlying recurring revenue, and that's an important, very important KPI for us. No more optimism on my HCS. I guess that's a little bit the consequence of having had a very strong year. You mentioned in your last question communication and data. These are down to one or two or three very specific customers who basically decided to do more with us in the final quarter of the year than what we were given reason to believe when we started the year. I'm not saying that cannot happen again, but it doesn't happen every year. And it certainly would not be prudent to expect that to repeat. And we've seen that if you look into the track record there, that it does contain a bit of a random factor. It doesn't take away any of our optimism around this and hope. And on the communication data, I would say that's a business where we are happy if it stays at current levels and some growth, but again, that came very strong then in 2015. Workflow and decision support, as always, that's where we've seen growth 2 years now, and it's coming in the right areas. It's very much based on services that we do for the insurance companies, on things around CGM life. We do everything from the medication record. Those are projects still, but hopefully can be permanent structures in some regions in Germany. We cooperate and work with private insurances. There will be more news on this coming. All in the context of the new model in Germany and the telematics infrastructure. there's great promise. Maybe more of that fundamentally will come in 17 or 18. So I think optimism we have, but again, coming on the back of a strong year, we need to be a little bit careful because things don't change overnight. And there are long lead times, but fundamentally we retain a lot of optimism, and a lot of the prospects and areas that we presented a few years ago are still alive and kicking.
Okay, great. Thank you. My questions seem to be covered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Lars from Hauck & Aufhäuser. I have four quick questions. The first one is on the telecom, the system connected. Do you have any visibility how far they are now at the end? Second question is on the lifetime, the replacement cycle for a connector. So what do you think is the replacement cycle for the connectors? I mean, in the, for example, in the payment industry, these POS terminals have lifetimes of sometimes 10 years. The third question is regarding the AIS business. A relatively weak guidance for 2016. As you say, it comes on the back on a stronger previous year. So why was it stronger the year before? Where is it coming from? Are the doctors in wait-and-see mode because of the telematic? And then the fourth question is on the hospital business. Why? I mean, it was really weak last year. So you have already a low base. You just expect flat revenues. Your new software is ready. It's in the market. Why is it not picking up? Is it the overall underlying market, or is it specific just a CompuGroup issue? Thanks, Christian.
First question, visibility on T-Systems. We don't. You will have to ask them. Replacement cycle of connector, I would certainly say as a starting point, maybe the POS terminals is a good indication. It's longer than a PC, I think that's clear. They don't last forever. 10 years is a long time, 7 maybe, but it's probably in that range. I'm not sure I would agree that we have a weak guidance for the AIS business, as 5 to 6% organic growth is more or less what we see as a growth rate of this business. Again, keep in mind that there is an element of maybe we cannot wait and see of Germany not firing on all cylinders. But all in all, certainly, I would more agree to your last statement that the hospital business has weak guidance. This is basically because we've seen projects go wrong, and this is not something that we want to see at all, which means we need to be restrictive, maybe say no to some business, and focus more on good projects which have better intrinsics and better built-in risk-reward picture. That's why, admittedly, in this area, we've given a conservative and careful outlook. You may label it weak, but again, that's just for us to be able to take on the right type of work and to get the right type of profitability into this part of the business.
Okay, so just to clarify, the underlying market is healthy and strong. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, hospital business is lumpy. You will have good years and not so good years, and certainly there were players that had much better years than us in 2015, which hurts to say, but it's the truth, and we just have to turn that around, and part of that is to stay disciplined. I think it's not a problem to get business in hospitals, but you actually have to deliver it, and to deliver it with profits.
And last follow up, US AIS business was how much?
In the full year, it was smack on 40 million euros.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. This appears to be the final question. Thank you so much for your interest. Yeah, and we will stay in touch, and if nothing else, we will revisit the progress in CompuGroup when we do our first quarter financial presentation this year, which is on May the 4th. Thank you.